Amen. Now, turn everybody tonight, if you would, to the book of Psalm, chapter 46. Don't plan on preaching too long this evening. We're going to be looking again at another psalm. We were in a psalm this morning, of course. And tonight, we're going to be looking for just a few moments. And like I say, I don't feel very long-winded tonight. So we're going to make a few thoughts and then get out of here. But anyway, Psalm 46. Let me take the liberty now to read this precious psalm. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, this is one of those precious psalms that it's almost impossible to read through without wanting to slow down and give basically a running commentary on the psalm, because every single verse is so pregnant with tremendous, great spiritual truth that is so applicable. Now to notice verse 1, God is our refuge. That's tremendous. Then and strength. That's tremendous. And then very present help. My, isn't that tremendous? Very present. You see, it's not what God did yesterday, though that was wonderful. It's not what God will do tomorrow, though that will be wonderful. But it's certainly wonderful that He's a present help in trouble. You see, we need God in a present tense category all the time, don't we? Let me keep reading. Therefore, will not we fear. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear anyway, based upon His Word, but a sound mind. If we're fearful tonight, it's fear that's been generated by ourselves, by the flesh, by our human thinking. It's certainly not God's intent that Christians walk around and live in a state of fearfulness. Let me keep reading. Therefore we will not fear. Why will we not fear? Well, the therefore reminds us of what we've just read in verse number 1. Because He's our refuge and our strength. He's our present help. Let me keep reading. Though the earth be removed. Now that's a traumatic thought, isn't it? Though the earth be removed. And, you know, humanly speaking, this earth is in an explosive situation right now. And, you know, anything can happen in terms of military involvements and the risk that we face. But now let me keep reading. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And could I mention this tonight? Psalm 46 is another one of those psalms that has to do with the conditions of this land after the tribulation and during the millennial reign of Christ. This is another one of those precious psalms that have to do with the time that wars will be over, plows will be beaten, swords will be beaten in plowshares. This earth will be enveloped in the peace with God because Christ will be ruling. Let me keep reading verse 2. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. It's somewhat looking back on what has just happened. Let's say the tribulation, 7 years tribulation, has occurred. And we know the Lord comes back at the end. There's the tremendous battle He fights with the earth's enemies. And the great victory that's secured. And then looking back at the tribulation period, the seals, the vials, or the trumpets, and the vile judgments, and the upheavals upon this earth. But now it's over. Verse 4, there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad. The city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. And again, this is looking now at that glorious time of Christ's reign upon this earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And then verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. If I can borrow now the wording of verse number 10 and use that as my thought tonight, exactly like the verse reads, be still and know that I'm God. That's going to be my thought tonight, the next few moments. Let's pray. Our Father, this evening, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the service that's already been such a blessing. We've been reminded tonight of tremendous and wonderful truths through music. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the coming heaven, the goodness of the Lord, how you brought us from what we were in the past enslaved by sin, set us free. And oh God, we know tonight, we couldn't have imagined years ago before Calvary in our lives, we couldn't imagine that you'd see fit to even save us. Bless us the way you have. Put us in the family of God and give us the blessings of being able to reflect upon Calvary, upon our Lord. Thank you tonight for your blessings. And help us, Lord, tonight to be able to do exactly like the verse says, be still and know that I am God. Lord, bless now this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the psalm here deals with a past conflict that had taken place. But now the conflict is over. Now the Lord is ruling. Now peace is being enjoyed upon this earth. The conflict is now ended. May I say tonight that we live in a time of conflict. Conflicts are everywhere. We struggle constantly with some kind of a conflict. Heard of an illustration of a child in school that there was a class bully that kept telling that child, he would corner the child and he'd say to that child, he'd say, give me your lunch money. Scared that little boy to get hit to death. So he gave that bully his lunch money every day. And then finally, the child got wise. He said, I'll take karate. I'll learn to defend myself. So he goes and he makes an inquiry. He wants to find out how much you're going to charge for taking karate. And they tell him $10. So then the little boy backs up and he gets to thinking about that. He figured it was cheaper to pay the bully. So he just went ahead and put up with it a little bit longer. You know, the Bible has a lot to say with conflict, with troubles, with problems, with wars that go on, with struggles that we have. Yet I think of how the Bible admonishes God's people to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand. You see, actually in this verse here, there's combative terms that are used throughout this, reminding us that life is a series of struggles. This passage reminds us of battles. Yes, in the context, the battles are over. But yet in our case tonight, by way of application, we've all got our share of challenges and problems we face and battles that we have to endure. But what a glorious truth to realize, we serve the King of Kings. We serve the one that fought and won the greatest battle at Calvary. We serve the one who took care of old Slewfoot the devil at Calvary. And thank God we can realize, we can understand, we can be encouraged tonight in our heart that it's just a matter of time that God's going to totally put sin down and Satan will be cast into the lake of fire and this world will never again be subjected to the trials and troubles and sins and problems that we know tonight. Amen. That's why it's good tonight to know the Lord. Now, verse number 10, by way of application, be still and know that I am God. Here's some unexpected advice that the Bible is giving us when it comes to the matter of battles, of struggles, of problems, of issues. The Bible says, be still. Be still. The fault is the fact that Christians need, in a sense, to just relax. Cease striving. Respond by relaxing. Be still. You see, we get into a lot of problems by trying to fight the battle on our own, with our own ability. By self-struggle. But when it comes to the matter of the Lord and God's grace and how the Lord is working and blessing, God would have us to simply be still and trust Him. Somehow learn to relax and let God take care of that issue for us. Be still. Be still. Now, you know, there's so much that can be said here. We respond by relaxing. We respond by, and notice this, and know. And know. See, there's a connection there. Be still and know. If you read the previous verses, we've already been given some great truths we need to never, never, never forget. He's our refuge. He's our security. He's our strength. He takes care of us. And so, you see, when it comes to the matter of relaxing, it's a cognitive thing. You see, the peace will be derived not by self-struggle, but by relaxing and using our mind and thinking and pondering. And like the preacher, like Brother Jerry even said tonight, we need to, in the context of some of the music he presented to us, thinking, pondering, depending on the Word of God. And know, you can't separate the Word of God. In other words, we read the truth in the verses preceding verse number 10. He's our refuge, our strength. We must never forget that. We don't let that go. When we're relaxing, we're knowing. We're knowing. We're using our mind. We're pondering. We're contemplating. You know, the Bible says Mary kept those things and pondered them in her heart. Even think of Mary when she was approached and told that she was going to bear the Christ child and so forth. She kept those things and pondered them in her heart. God would do a great work in our hearts and lives if we do more pondering and keeping those things and meditating and thinking about what He said, what He'll do, who He is, and how He's blessed us. Relaxing when the going gets tough. We have a tendency to respond emotionally, but God says we ought to respond cognitively. Not a very good word when you have Bell's palsy, Jerry. We're not to respond on the basis of how we feel. We're to respond on the basis of what we know. Our response is a knowing response, not a feeling response. Many times if we go by how we feel, why, we feel as lost as Hogan's goat. I remember years ago in the Marine Corps, the old DI used to talk about Hogan's goat. He never told us who Hogan's goat was. He did used to tell us he's going to knock us in the next county if we didn't straighten up. But he mentioned Hogan's goat. I wasn't even saved during those years, but I had a feeling Hogan's goat must have been lost. What does that have to do with what I'm preaching? Not a thing. Put that in the category of little stupidity if you want to, I guess. We're to respond on the basis of what we know, not on the basis of how we feel. I'm saying to all of us tonight, if we go by how we feel, we're going to stay in a mess all the time. Sometimes you don't feel good, you get up, you feel tired, you don't even feel like going to church, don't feel like reading your Bible. Sometimes you feel, quite frankly, like you're about halfway backslidden. But I'm glad tonight that does not cancel out God's grace and God's goodness and the security that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that how we feel has nothing to do with what God has done. Our security tonight is based upon thus saith the Lord, not how we feel. Be still and know. Always keep that knowing in there. Keep your mind upon Scriptures. Ponder the promises of God. Remember, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Remember that He's a present help in time of trouble. Remember that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember that. Remember that when you relax, ponder, think, be still, and know that I'm God. Years ago, I used to pastor a church, and we had a high school, or we had a school in the church, kindergarten all the way through the 12th grade, and we had a pretty good little ball team. My son was one of the key players in our basketball team, and Carol and I used to always go to the games and so forth. And speaking about Jerry getting us run out of that restaurant, Carol used to almost get us run out of the game. She'd holler and hoop and carry on. But you know, we'd sit there, and naturally you could figure out what team we were on or who we were supporting. But it used to amaze me how both school teams, they'd get so keyed up and tension would mount, especially if it was a close game, you see. The two churches would get so keyed up almost as though the future of their ministry depended on the outcome of the games. Now later on, of course, we'd tape those games a lot of times, and later on we'd take the tape of the games home and we'd watch them. But I noticed a difference. We weren't too keyed up when we watched the replay because we knew how it would end. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? We know how it's going to end. We might be keyed up because we're weak. Because we get buffaloed and skunked and spooked because of what we see going on around us. It bothers me tonight that our country is being taken down to a bare minimum by profane politics that are more interested in career than country. That bothers me tonight. As an old military man, I'm bothered tonight by that. But I can't affect that. I can't change that. If I'd even write a letter and try to get it forward, it'd never make it. They don't want to listen to me. Of course, I can pray for this country, and I certainly do. But guess what, though? I know what the end's going to be. I know how it's going to end. See, tonight, the success and the key to this nation's ills and problems is not a political solution anyway. It is a spiritual solution. And though this nation more than likely will get further and further away from God, and I don't anticipate a great awakening, I don't anticipate a great revival, but I know this tonight, every child of God is secure in Christ Jesus. We may not see victory on a national scale, but we have the promise of it in the Word of God, and we believe tonight that our Lord is going to one day balance things out anyway, and wrongs are going to be made right, and this mess is going to end one day, and the Lord Himself is going to be the ruler upon this earth, and we'll never have to be subjected to profane politicians that promise so much and do so little. But what people need tonight is God in their lives and God in government. And we can pray towards that end. It may not happen, but we can pray towards that end. But listen to me. We have, in a sense, we've got a replay. We know what's going to happen. We can be encouraged. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. That's our security. That's our comfort. I don't care who replaces President Obama. He still is no substitute for God and what God can do. A key in life. We know how things are going to work out by knowing who is going to work things out. Knowing God is certainly better than knowing even the outcome. Be still tonight and know. Three quickies and I'm done. Number one, be still and know that God is the only secure refuge. That's first. Number two, be still and know that God is our strength. Number three, be still and know that God is a present help. And I've already stolen some of my own thunder on that line a little bit. Be still and know that God is our only secure refuge. In any battle, we need a place to rest, to regather, to regroup, to replan. And a lot of times in military scenarios, people in combat, they take R&R, they go away, they get off the battlefield, They're given an opportunity to recoup, put on civilian clothes for a while, and rest, refresh their mind, and then get re-prepared, you might say, to go back into battle again. You see, that's the way life is. We struggle. We deal with problems. We have pressures that come our way. But we need to regroup from time to time. Reflect. Refresh. What a great truth. He shall cover thee with his feathers. I mentioned that this morning. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. There's your Psalm 91 passage again. I grew up in the country. I've been around farm animals a lot. And I've seen how many times little old chicks, they'll take off running, and where do they run? They run right under their mother's feathers. They flee to the warmth, to the protection of the mother's feathers. And my friend, tonight, that's what we do. We flee to the protection of his feathers, under his wings. We trust. We're secure. Thank God for that. God protects his battle-weary children. He does. Now, here's the thing. In this life, yes, people die. Christians die. Christians go to battle. Christians go to war. Christians die in combat. We pray for their safety. We pray for people to come home. Many don't. But many still know the Lord. They die on the foreign battlefield. But even in dying, they still have victory. Wonderful thing about the child of God is we never cease to have victory either or. Christians get sick. Christians go to the hospital. Christians die on hospital beds. Christians get bedridden. Christians get diseases. Christians have physical problems. But nevertheless, that doesn't cancel out God's goodness and God's love and God's grace and what he's doing. He's still our secure refuge. You see, the worst physical strait that we find ourselves in still does not compare to the easiest spiritual strait or strait that unsaved people are in. We're still always, at any time, going to still be better off than the lost crowd out there. We always will. Be still and know that God's our only secure refuge. Number two, be still and know that God is our strength. He is a source of power as we face the battles of life. He's given us the promise. And by the way, the word again is our answer. Ephesians 1:19. What does it say? Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The exceeding greatness of his power. I'm saying tonight, even in dying, we have victory. The exceeding greatness of his power. We will never be without that resource. Regardless of what we face and have to deal with. Be still and know that. Know that. Know that God is the only secure refuge. Number two, that God is our strength. And then finally, that God is our present help. And here's a simple thought you can take home with you. He tailors his assistance to our present need. He tailors his assistance to our present need. He knows exactly who we are, what we are, where we are, what we need, how we hurt, how we feel, what we face, what we're dealing with. And God tailors his assistance to our need. He's a personal God anyway. I'm glad he may deal with people in a group. I mean, he's blessed this church collectively tonight already. Well, I'm glad that his blessings come down to a personal level. In a sense, when God looks down upon this building tonight and sees the people of God in this building, he sees every person tonight individually. He looks at each of us individually as though we're his favored child, and actually we are. Individual, present help, time of trouble. Not only present help, but personal help. Looking at each one of us individually, knows what our thoughts are, knows what our fears are, knows how we hurt. A present help. The key, you see, is not simply though knowing. Keep this in mind. Knowing about Him, but knowing Him. Not knowing about Him. I went for years and knew about Him. But it wasn't until 68 that I knew Him. It's a great encouragement to know there is a God in heaven. And to know that He is in control. And to know what He's doing in people's lives all around us. But I'm especially glad tonight. He knows, I know Him personally. He knows where I am. He knows my hurts, my pain, my sorrows, and my grief. And I'm going to tell you, I don't take it lightly that I can come to church as a personal individual. This is not a preacher thing with me. I'm glad I can come to church and just sit in a service and be blessed like I was tonight when these folks sang, because I can relate to those words. And God can personally take those songs and direct them to my heart. It's not a preacher thing. It's a Christian thing. It's a joy personally. And that's why I requested Jerry to sing that song, if you would have known me. Tears me up to think about it, but my being torn up is not. Hey, these aren't tears of grief. Please understand that. They're tears of joy. If you'd have known me, a lost, ungodly, drunkard, heading straight for hell as fast as my feet would carry me, but I met the Master. Took care of it. And that peace that passeth all understanding. And then down through the years of my life, I've made so many stupid mistakes and I've blundered so much. I've handled things many times wrongly. And I've had my share of mistakes. But yet through it all, God has been so good. Amen. His love has still been there. And He keeps on forgiving. Oh, He's a very present help in time of trouble. And you can take that to the bank. You could take it to the bank. I'd rather be able to utter the words Jesus and say that from a heart that's been redeemed than to be in league with the most powerful person upon the face of this earth. I'll tell you this tonight. It means much more to me being able to come into the presence of God than being able to be invited to the president to be in the office of the president or sit in the office of state officials. I'd rather just be able to come into the presence of God, because that's far more rewarding. That's what I'm saying tonight. Be still and know that I'm God. Let's pray. Father, thank You this evening for Your precious word and for how